Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
I am so excited to be sharing with you today about Jesus, our Passover lamb. Now listen, don't go all religious on me, man. Don't turn me off and don't think that this is going to be something boring, because I'm going to tell you something. I am going to help you come to a scriptural concept of who Jesus is. Man, it's time for us to give up all of these crazy philosophical and sometimes even unscriptural ideas of who Jesus is. We're trying to work faith in who Jesus is, and we learned last week that the only way that our heart is filled with this living water is when we believe on Jesus as the Scripture says. And so that's why this incredible series, Jesus as the Scripture says, is what we're talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. Before this month is over, how you see Jesus, how you appreciate Jesus, how you experience Jesus, it's all going to change. Now listen, this series in its entirety is available at www.impactministries.com. Share it with your friends. You know, Jesus turned to his disciples one day and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they came up with all these answers. And then he said, "Well, who do you say I am?" I want to tell you something. Who you believe Jesus is, what you believe about Jesus, is the basis of your faith. It's the core of your faith. And if you do not see Jesus as the Scripture says, then your faith is in vain. This incredible series is going to plug you into everything God says about who Jesus is. You know, today we're talking about Jesus, our Passover lamb. And you know, you got to ask, when you hear those words, what does that mean to you, Passover lamb? You know, those are religious terms that have been lost. Really, they haven't been lost. Religion deliberately destroyed the church's connection to what the Scripture really reveals about Jesus. Religion doesn't want you to know who Jesus is. Now, I'm not talking about your church. I'm telling you, there are great churches out there. There's great pastors out there. Man, I'm telling you, I know more pastors that are doing a good job today than I've ever known any time since I've been in the ministry. I'm not talking about your church. I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about things that have happened over centuries of people attempting to separate and alienate us from true faith in the scriptural account of Jesus. Remember, God said, who's going to believe our report? And that's the key. It doesn't matter if you believe the pastor's report, the denomination's report, your mama's report, your daddy's report. None of that is going to affect your life. And it's believing God's report. You know, in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, Paul was addressing, you know, it's really interesting. He was addressing a moral issue that was going on in the church. And you know, and these people were glorying in their toleration of this adulterous affair going on. Now Paul wasn't trying to turn people into headhunters, you know, to look for people that had problems and this sort of thing. But see, they had perverted the concepts of spirituality, and they were considering themselves spiritual because they overlooked these things and because they didn't feel the need to do anything. Much like you're seeing people do in some extreme areas of the grace movement today. People think that they're spiritual because they've taken a soft attitude toward sin, you know. But Paul says this, because they were boasting. They were glorying. He said, you're boasting or you're glorying. It's not good. He said, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump? Now, I'll tell you something. Leaven in the Scripture almost always refers to sin. And you know, like it or not, God doesn't want us dealing around in sin. So anyhow, he tells me, he says, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I want to tell you something. God wants us to have sincerity and truth. Now, he used some terminology there. He talks about observing the feast. He talks about leaven, and he talks about Passover. And like I say, what does that mean when you hear Paul talk about leaven or the feast or the Passover? I'll tell you what, most people have no clue what it really means. Now, if you don't know what these things mean, when an Old Testament reference like this is quoted, and you don't really get it, you don't understand what that has to do with your New Testament faith, then there's really a great probability that you really don't see Jesus as the Scripture reveals Him. You might see Him in some areas as a Scripture. And see, this is one of the reasons our walk with God is so up and down and off and on. It's like we have some little degrees of believing the truth about who Jesus is. But the question is, in every aspect of your life, are you able to see who Jesus is and how what He modeled and what He taught applies to that area of your life so that you can have this abundant life that He came to give us or to lead us into? You know, God's eternal plan was revealed in the feast. I want to tell you something. See, God made up His mind what Jesus was going to do for us before the world was ever created. I mean, He looked down through time and He realized that there was no way you could give people free will that some people wouldn't mess it up, but He wanted to make sure that even though people mess it up, He could restore them, He could recover them. And so one of the ways that God had people prepare for the coming Messiah, the coming Savior, was through feast. And see, a feast was a solemn assembly, and there's two words that are related to solemn assembly. One means rehearsal, and one means appointed times. So you see, God had people observing the feast because there were about three of the feasts that had to do with Jesus coming the first time, and then three or four of the feasts has to do with Him coming the second time, and the failure to understand what happened in those feasts and the messages that were conveyed, that God wanted conveyed, causes us not to really see Jesus according to the Scripture. Now, I want you to understand, Passover started when the children of Israel were in Egypt. The children of Israel were in Egypt because really it came down to this. God told Abraham, when Abraham escaped from Nimrod and his dominance, and he grew up and he came to connect with God, God told him to go to Canaan. And Abraham did not do what God said. He didn't separate himself from his family. And ultimately, he delayed his time of getting to Canaan by about 25 years. So he gets to Canaan 25 years late. And so when he gets there, there's a famine. And so by his disobedience to God, all of these things are set in motion. And then ultimately, generations later, Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, and he went into Egypt, but he was put into prison. He interpreted some dreams, and ultimately he interpreted a dream for Pharaoh, and he became the second in command to Pharaoh. And so then another famine was overtaking the land of Canaan, then the family of Joseph's family, which, you know, became the nation of Israel, which was about 70 people, they went down to Egypt, and God used Joseph's position in Egypt to protect and to preserve what would become the nation of Israel. Now, over time, as other pharaohs came up that didn't know Joseph, they began to turn the relationship between Israel and Egypt into one of them being servants and then ultimately slaves. So they were in captivity in Egypt, and they had been there for over 400 years. And so finally, the children of Israel, they get oppressed enough, I guess, to call out to God or trust God or whatever. And so You know, God raises up Moses as a deliverer. Now, Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, I want you to let Jehovah's speaking to you and saying, I want you to let my children go so they can go out into the wilderness so they can have a sacrifice unto God. Now, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Now, it's interesting, you can read passages of Scripture where it sounds like God is saying that he intentionally hardened Pharaoh's heart. But then you read other passages where it talks about Pharaoh hardening his heart. So you say, well, how come these sound different? Who hardened whose heart? Well, this gets down to the fact that whenever you hear the word of God, the condition of your heart is going to determine if it gets hard or if it gets soft. You know, I'll never forget the first time I ever asked anybody this question about Pharaoh's heart hardening. Somebody said this. They said, the same sun that melts butter hardens clay. So I want you to understand something. The condition of your heart determines if the word of God is going to harden your heart or if it's going to soften your heart, if it's going to be death and destruction to you, because the way of God is death and destruction to some people, but it's life to others. Because some people soften their heart, they believe the truth, they yield, they follow God. Some people harden their heart and try to keep doing whatever it is they want to do the way they want to do it. Now, so God ultimately brought 10 plagues on Egypt so that Pharaoh would see him as God and fear him and let the children of Israel go. Now, each of these 10 plagues was actually a slap in the face of one of these, each of the different gods that the children of Egypt were worshiping. And so finally, they get down to the last plague, and the last plague was the death of the firstborn of every family in Egypt, and all the livestock and the firstborn of everything that they had. And there's a lot of spiritual significance to that that we won't go into now. And so, and of course, when Pharaoh saw that Jehovah was greater than his gods, he reluctantly, temporarily agreed to let the children of Israel go and sacrifice the God. Now, this last plague that came upon the children of Egypt, I want you to understand, it could have come upon the children of Israel. But this is where the Passover was instituted. And God said, now listen, an angel of death is going to go across the land tonight. And everywhere in Egypt, now Egypt is a type of the world. And you have to understand this. It's a type of the world in sin. And so he's saying everywhere that the angel crosses over, the firstborn of every family is going to die unless he sees the blood of the Passover lamb. That's what Passover means. It means to pass over. It means to pass over or jump over any place where this angel sees the blood and not bring this plague to anybody in that household. So the children of Israel, they were to kill a lamb, a faultless, flawless lamb publicly. It had to be without blemish. And then they were to sprinkle the blood of this lamb on the doorposts and the lintels, which is considered what they call the top of the door. And this would ensure that they had protection and that there would be no death in their household. And then they were to eat the lamb with unleavened bread. And we'll talk a little bit about leaven. And in fact, ultimately in the Passover feast that came to be observed, God required that all leaven be removed from their houses. And, you know, this kind of gets in, leaven represents sin more than anything else. And this Feast of Passover, every aspect of the Feast of Passover has significance. Now, the idea of them eating bread without leaven kind of gets into this thing of the fact that when we believe on the blood of Jesus, there has to be an intention of letting go of sin. There has to be a willingness to let go of sin. And you could not eat or partake of the Passover lamb if you did not attempt to get rid of all of the leaven that was in your household. And there's a lot of typology there that we may get into, but we'll definitely get into it in the message. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread lasted 7 days. And, you know, even this kind of talks a little bit about the fact that it's not just the fact that if you're going to participate participate in the Passover, that you want to let go of sin. But it talks about, you know, seven is a number of perfection. This is talking about going on in our life, moving forward in our life and letting go of all of the leaven. And I think there's a lot to be said there. They also had to eat the lamb with bitter herbs, and all through observing the feast, they were to eat these bitter herbs, remembering their captivity. See, it's important that we remember where we came from before we came to Jesus. It's important to remember what a wreck our life was before we came to Jesus. Because, you know, God warned the children of Israel. He said, now listen, when you come into this land that I give you, and you have houses you didn't build and gardens you didn't plant, and you know, you're prospering and being blessed, he said, you better be careful that you don't forget where you came from, and you start saying in your heart, it's by my strength that I've gotten all of this. And God says, I'm the one that gives you power to get wealth. But I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of people stop walking with God because after their life was good for about, you know, 5 or 10 years, they forget who they were and what a mess they were in before they gave their life to Jesus. And we do not want to do that. And that's what the eating of the bitter herbs symbolizes, always remembering what life was for you without Jesus. Now, when they ate this lamb, they were not allowed to break any of its bones, because remember, this is a type or a shadow or a foretelling of what would happen with Jesus. You know, none of his bones were broken. And any part of the lamb that they didn't eat, they had to burn with fire. Now, they had to eat fully clothed, completely dressed, ready to be delivered from Egypt. Now this is a picture of God's power to instantaneously deliver you from the leaven, instantaneously deliver you from the world, Egypt, you know, representing the world. And so, you know, we want to realize that no matter what we're in, the moment we surrender ourselves to God and believe on Jesus as the Scripture says and what He's done for us, and we have the intention of leaving Egypt, we have the intention of leaving the leaven behind, I want to tell you something, we can experience immediate deliverance. But I'm going to tell you something. The only people that can't get free from a problem are the people that are trying to find a way to get free from the consequences, but they really want to hold on to the sin. You know, if you have no intention of getting the leaven out of your life, then you will never, ever, ever, ever find what it is that you're looking for, and you'll forever blame God. Now there are some interesting implications when you think about this. Now, this angel of death is going to go all across Egypt, which represents the world, and everyone who does not apply the blood for themselves is going to face the consequences. Now, in saying this, you know, God prepared us and warned us against the ideas of universalism and inclusion. You say, I don't even know what that is. Universalism and inclusion is a doctrinal error that's sweeping around the world today that's basically saying, since Jesus died for the sins of the world, the whole world is saved. They just don't know it. Well, there are hundreds of scriptures that refute that, but some people, for whatever reasons, just want to believe it, you know. Sometimes you lose somebody that you loved and you don't know if they ever gave their life to the Lord. You got to find comfort some way. And sadly, if you're not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, you'll twist the scriptures to find comfort over those, you know, that you've lost. But I want you to realize these people had to apply the blood. And if they didn't, even though the promise was made, it didn't mean that they would get to partake of it. All through the Scripture, by the way, you see this over and over again. You know, when the children of Israel are getting bitten by serpents, the cure for it was they took a serpent made of brass, which, by the way, brass always represents judgment, just like blood represents wrath. The shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb represents the wrath of God, because there is no greater wrath than death. There is no greater wrath than the death penalty being expressed. But, you know, the brazen serpent, Moses says, what do I do? How to get these people healed? God says, I want you to make a brazen serpent. I want you to put it on a pole. I want you to put it up. And in the original language, it says, everybody that looks on it and ponders on it will be healed. I got news for you. Not everybody in Israel was healed, Because if they didn't go out and look on that brazen serpent, which for us is looking on Jesus having become our sin, and they had to ponder and consider what that meant, and they would experience healing. So the whole concept of universalism and inclusion all through all of the Old Testament types tell us that that is not something that is true and real in Jesus. Now, the second implication here is that they were all delivered from Egypt. With, like I say, this is a symbol of coming out of sin, of coming out of the world, of sin losing its power over you. But as you see, when the children of Israel get into the wilderness, you know, even though, and this is a model, and Paul said all of these things, we need to look at these things because they were all types, they were all examples for us to understand New Testament truth. Even though they had been delivered from Egypt, and even though they crossed the Red Sea, which was a baptism into the body of Christ, they still had choices, and many of them chose to not believe God, and they suffered the consequences. And that's why Paul warns us in Romans chapter 6, and really all in Hebrews and Galatians and dozens of other places, that even though we're born again, even though we're part of the body of Christ, sin still has the benefit of death, or the consequence of death. Now, it's not God killing you. It's not God doing it to you. But it's just like this. If you drink arsenic before you get saved, it'll kill you. If you drink arsenic after you get saved, it'll kill you. Arsenic, poison doesn't stop being poison because you got saved. All sin is not the things that makes God mad at us. Sin is the poisons, if you will, the emotional poisons and spiritual poisons that God said, this'll kill you. I hope you'll leave it alone. That's why I'm warning you about it. So the children of Israel, they got a deliverance from the world system. And by the way, this is even kind of a foreshadowing of us being delivered from the wrath of God that will be expressed on the Antichrist during the tribulation. And again, watch for, over the next couple of months, my new book, Apocalypse, a Spiritual Guide to the Return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you want to get this. And this is something you want to teach your kids. You want every Christian school to have it. You want everywhere where people want to understand history and what's going on in the world to have and read this book. So there's all kinds of typology here that we could go into. And actually, I'll go into more of this, you know, later on. But Jesus becomes our Passover lamb. I've taken too much time on all this other stuff, but it's important to understand that the Passover was one of three feasts that everybody had to attend to. And God wanted it that way so that when Jesus showed up, they would all be there when he was crucified. Now, get this. The Passover lamb had to be raised in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Only a priest in the bloodline of Aaron could select the Passover lamb. John the Baptist was the priest of the bloodline of Aaron. The lamb was brought to Jerusalem through the eastern gate. Jesus came into Jerusalem through the eastern gate. The lamb was then tied at the entrance of the temple and examined for 4 days. Jesus was examined for 4 days before his crucifixion. Once the person inspecting the lamb determined that it was without fault, he would wash his hands and turn it over to the person that would take it to be sacrificed. Pontius Pilate washed his hands and said, "I find no fault in him." The time of the evening sacrifice was about 3:00. And at 3:00, the Bible tells us, is when Jesus was crucified. When the sacrifice was completed around 6:00, the shofar horn would sound, indicating that the sacrifice had been accepted by God and that Israel was forgiven. It was about 6:00 when Jesus said, "It is finished." I'm telling you, God wanted to make it where everybody who was looking could see that Jesus was the true Passover lamb. That all those feasts and all those festivals, they were shadows, they were types. But here's the deal. And there's a lot more to it than this. I'm just hitting the high spots here because I haven't even talked about the blood. You know, without the blood, there's no remission of sin. The new covenant is established in the blood of Jesus. We are made near unto God through the blood of Jesus. We have peace through the blood of Jesus. And I could go on and on and on, but it's when we begin to see what happens, what they did with that blood, that we start realizing, man, the high priest, he couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies without blood. You know what? We can't enter the presence of God without faith in the blood of Jesus. Listen, Come back with me for a mentoring moment. I just want to share some incredibly important things with you. Hey, I want to invite you to join me as I cross the country this year. Man, we have such an incredible connection and ministry time in our meetings. And May the 29th, I'm going to be in Ontario, B.C. July the 17th through the 19th, we've got World Changer Weekend here in Huntsville. Then October the 12th, I'm going to be back at Gateway Church. Then October the 16th and 17th, we got Heart Physics Weekend. Plus, there's some other dates in there that we don't yet have on our calendar. But you can always go to my website, and I think it's under the Home tab, but you look for Jim's Itinerary, and that'll tell you where I am and give you all the contact information to be able to find out about it. But also, be praying about and be looking forward to. I'll be releasing my new book, Apocalypse, A Spiritual Guide to the Return of Jesus. And it'll be coming out just in a couple of months. Keep your eyes open for it, because I'm going to tell you something. It's the book you want to read to be ready for the future. Jesus, according to Scripture, is going to light up your world about the blood of Jesus. See, the Passover lamb shed his blood so that you would be delivered from all of the wrath of God. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to change everything about your world, everything about how you see God, everything about how your faith works. By the blood of Jesus, by faith in the blood of Jesus, we experience all of these things that we were foretold through the feast. You have got to have this series. Now remember, these feasts that we're talking about, and we talked about this at the beginning of the message, they were called solemn assemblies, and there are two words that relate to a solemn assembly, and one has to do with a rehearsal, and the other one has to do with things appointed or times appointed. Now, so solemn assemblies were where we rehearse things that were appointed. You know something? Whenever we get going through life, when we're doing whatever it is we do, we need to rehearse things that Jesus has done for us. You know, confessing Scripture can be a legalistic thing where you think you're trying to convince God to do something, or confessing Scriptures could be a rehearsal and a reminding of yourself of all the things that you have in Jesus. You know, I can remember reading the Scriptures about, you know, back in the faith movement days where they talk about put God in remembrance. You know, God hasn't forgotten anything. It's not like we got to remind God. You know, the whole concept of putting God in remembrance is the fact that we're putting ourselves in remembrance. We're calling to our own remembrance these things. So I want you to understand something. You know, when you're praying about something or when you're facing a challenge, it's time for you to have a feast. Whether that feast is you taking communion with yourself, or whether that feast is you having a worship service with yourself, however you have your feast, but that feast can't just be an empty ceremony. That feast has to be a rehearsal of things God has appointed for you through the Lord Jesus. So you see, as you begin to meditate on and ponder on and think about these Scriptures, and in this series, I'm giving you a bunch of Scriptures about the blood of Jesus. You can meditate on these Scriptures about the blood and what that means to your life, or you can meditate on anything. But here's the deal. You want to do all of this so that you bring yourself to absolute trust, absolute confidence, absolute faith in what God has done for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because if you're not trusting God, then basically you're calling Him a liar. If you're not trusting God, then you're saying He's not trustworthy. If you're not trusting God and His Word, you're going to find something else to trust. Have your own feast. Have your own festival. Have your own ceremony where you rehearse and remind yourself of all the promises of God.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.